If you save your life, you'll lose it. If you lose your life, you'll save it. That's what the Bible says. Hello? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Can you see it by faith? Even if you don't, if you can't see it, can you see it by faith? My whole life, I was looking for the truth. And I noticed people around me, they were getting everything they want. They were building a house. They had good jobs. They were getting, buying houses and all this stuff. And I, everything around me, I was losing one thing at a time. Stuff was dropping off like everybody else was gaining, and I was losing. And I was seeking, but I was seeking the truth. I noticed they were active in their daily life, you know, and they were gaining ground in a lot of ways, relationship-wise, money-wise, house-wise, car-wise, career-wise. They were gaining ground like crazy. I was looking around. I said, Lord, what's going on? You're taking everything away from me. Everybody else is gaining, but you're just taking it all away. I didn't understand. Now I do. Because even when I gained, that wasn't what I wanted. I had opportunities to gain. I mean, there were opportunities to put in my face. I mean, I could have gained a lot. I even had some good jobs where I had a secretary, and I could have been set for life many times. But something in me said, this is not my, this place is going to steal my soul. I can't even speak freely. I can't be myself. They're trying to steal my soul. So I tried about 120 jobs till I found the careers I like that fit my personality, you know. Somebody asked me a few years ago, why'd you choose this path? You got a college degree and all that. I said, they said this, that, and the other. I said, I chose this path. They didn't say choose this path. They said, why'd you take this job instead of this one? You could be making double what you're making. I said, I chose this path a long time ago. I chose the path that let me be real instead of fake. I couldn't put it into words back then, but I knew that it was like they were trying to shut down who you are, you know, steal your personality, project something that's not even you. Got like four or five policemen pulling cars over because they got to make their quota, I guess. Pulling cars over like crazy right now. Unless they're looking for somebody. Try to see if both cars are similar cars, because if they're pulling over the same cars, that means they're looking for somebody. Crazy world. Anyway, if you save your life, you'll lose it. You lose your life, you'll save it. And the Bible talks about, I don't know if it's in that same passage, it might be, if you give up family and wife, kids, even your own life, if you're willing to give up your own life, you'll gain more back. So I got a born-again family all over the whole world. I have so much family, it's not even funny. And I noticed the more you gave up stuff, the more clear it became. Because when you're tied into the culture program, you're blind, you know. When you start disconnecting from the TV, from the music, from the system lies, and you just kind of isolate yourself and just start meditating on the truth and rightly dividing the word of truth and praying and seeking the truth, stuff starts to clear up. And it's like, oh, now I know why. Now I know why people can't hear you. Now I know why people can't hear the simplicity that's in Christ, faith alone and Jesus alone, because they're so caught up with the cares of this life. Their husband, their wife, their kids, their grandkids, their mother-in-law, their and it's like, now it makes sense why Jesus said what he said. They're marrying and giving in marriage until the flood came and destroyed them all. And Noah was sitting there, hey, get in the boat, get in the boat. And they laughed at him. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the last days. As in the days of Lot, so shall it be. What happened in Noah? Only 8 were saved. What happened in Lot? Lot's wife looked back and the whole place was destroyed. Babylon's going to be destroyed. And those who stand afar off are going to be crying because they got rich. Why are they crying? They're not crying for souls. They're crying because they're money. All the merchants are sitting there crying because they lost all their money. You can see Babylon is falling right now. That's why the cryptocurrency, everything is approaching that culmination to that point where Babylon will just completely disintegrate. The debt money system, the knowledge that's spreading across the whole world, everybody's waking up to the game. The jig is up, the gig is up, or whatever you want to call it. The gig is up. When you realize that all the food that they've been feeding you is not even good for you, and you realize you do some fasting, you don't even need to eat that much, and you realize you're healthier when you don't eat a whole lot. And so you save your life, you lose it. You lose your life, you save it. Everybody's going getting drunk, thinking they're partying. Let's go have some fun. Go to the bar. And then they get addicted to drinking. Their liver gets destroyed and they destroy their life. And the ones that sacrificed and exercised and ate healthy and did healthy and moved around and rested and didn't see, it's all holographically connected. They speak evil of you when you don't run with them to the excess of riot. What does that mean? It's a death cult. If you don't love the death cult, they hate you. If you support the death cult, they love you because you're in the playpen with them. What is the playpen? The world, the flesh, and the pride of life. And so I noticed even when you have to give up certain relationships, you know, it might be a gut-wrenching pain. It might take 2 months just to get up out of bed and function again, but you know you got to cut something off. And you finally cut it off. After years, that quantum connection, soul tie, whatever you want to call it, that quantum connection being ripped apart is painful. If you save your life, you lose it. If you lose your life, you'll save it. You know you shouldn't have even been talking to them from the get-go, probably. If you lose your life, you'll save it. If you save your life, you lose it. If you give up the beggarly elements, you gain the eternal. If you give up the temporary beggarly, the little crumbs, if you give up the crumbs, let's say there's a relationship out there. I don't care if they're narcissists. I don't care if they're psychopaths. I don't care if they're selfish. I don't care. But it's giving you crumbs. Let's say you got in a relationship out there and it's all crumbs. And you say, I got to give this up, but I don't want to give it up. It's crumbs. Yeah, but there's nothing out there on the other side. That's all right. Would you rather eat crumbs or just either eat the? It's not healthy. Give up the crumbs and step into the whole meal, the whole loaf of bread. Yeah, but there's nobody out there. Save your life. Lose it. Lose your life. Save it. Well, maybe you give up the crumbs, get by yourself, and get healthy and start to think right and realize every healthy relationship is real communication, face-to-face, turning. That's real, not fake, not catfish, not narcissistic, not selfish. When you look at another person, you're looking at yourself. What does that mean? The Baptists are going to hate me for saying that. How's that possible? When you look at another, let me say it again. And every argument against this, I'm going to destroy right now. When you look at another person, you're looking at yourself. Well, that drunk, I'm not a drunk. That drunk over there is not me. I've never drank a beer in my life. How can that drunk be me? Well, with one wrong choice, you could have went down that path. You could have made a choice to go down that path. Something bad could have happened. My dad drank himself to death. He said, we were building a deck or something, and I said something. He said, well, you can't judge people till you walk in their shoes. You know, I don't know if he was talking to me or a helper or something. One of his helpers would steal from him. I said, why do you keep hiring him if he's stealing from you? He said, he's the best carpenter I know. And he says, what happens is he gets on his little thing. He needs a beer, and he goes to the pawn shop and pawns the tools. But then I work him on the job, and I make the money back. I said, oh, I got you. I guess what he was saying, he made so much money off that dude. If he took his skill saw and sold it to the pawn shop for $5 for a beer, it didn't matter. He didn't care. That's hilarious, to be honest with you. That's just ridiculous. It's insane. But that happens all the time. You'll get some situations, jobs. I've had 120. I've watched it. There's some situations, and you say to the boss, you say, why do you put up with that person? They're always late. They're this. Yeah, but they know what they're doing. They're good at what they're doing. And they never call in sick. But they might come in late. And when they do call out, they work extra day or whatever. And I can't find anybody as good as that person. And it's kind of like if you were married to a Jezebel and you knew she wasn't going to quit cheating, so you turned it into a situationship because she could cook and clean or something. It could be something like that or something, but you just quit. You had her sleep in the other room, but she ran your household good or something. I'm just throwing something out there. It's so bizarro land how this whole thing gets convoluted. It's just ridiculous. If everybody would just pull their weight and get healthy and do their job, you wouldn't have all this Jezebel flying monkey, enabling codependency stuff. Everybody's in the flesh mind, and it turns into codependency, enabling. It turns into sickness. It just turns into insanity. And you say, I'd rather be by myself than deal with all that. Your in-laws, everybody's trying to get attention. I mean, they don't have any identity in their self, so they're always trying to get an identity. The sister-in-law might try to come over your house and she's stealing something. You tell your wife, and she says, she never stole anything. She's not a thief. And you say, okay. That never happened to me, but my point is I've seen it happen to people. They cause trouble, drama, chaos, insanity, and take away your peace. And you're like, Lord, I just want peace. I'm looking for truth. What is this place? And he starts to remove even that kind of out of your life. And you're like, oh, Oh, this is, you mean this is what peace is? You mean I got away from these people and I cut and I changed my phone number and oh, this is peace? Oh, I can see clearly now. I could change my phone number and for some reason everything's peaceful now. Where'd they go? Where'd the trouble go? And you don't even have to do that. You really don't even have to change your phone number. You just hang up the phone or you just start saying, you talk back to them, say, hey, love your neighbors yourself. You did it too. They call you on the phone, blah, blah, blah. Remember when you did it? They'll hang up the phone. They won't call you back. Because when you call them out on their junk, they're calling you up and say, you won't believe what they did. You did it. They look at you like they're as mad as a snake, want to kill you, you know? I was married. Then she looks out the front door across the street. An 18-year-old girl was pregnant. She said, can you believe she's pregnant? I said, what are you talking about? You did it. She said, I said, can you believe she's pregnant? She's not married. I said, what are you talking about? You did it. It might not have been the exact situation. I don't know how to explain it. I can't talk about it better more than that, but it wasn't the exact same situation. But I was showing her that you're guilty of it. It's only by the grace of God you didn't get pregnant. Ridiculous. If you do that enough, eventually somebody's probably going to shoot you because they don't want to be convicted of it. They don't want to admit that person they're looking at. What's it say in the Bible? It says, if you committed one sin, you committed them all. When you do that, when you throw that back on somebody, they really get mad. Especially if it's something in their mind is really bad. You did it. A lot of times they're doing it right then. I should have said, what's worse, getting pregnant or cheating on your significant other? Probably would have got shot then. Or stabbed. Save your life, you'll lose it. Lose your life, you'll save it. If you give up bad relationships that are not healthy, that are just in the flesh, you give up anything in the natural, the world. If you give up the world, or you give up the flesh, or you give up the pride of life, what happens? That's breadcrumbs compared to the spiritual truth and the spiritual peace that you get. And then what happens is, as you go along this journey and you give up those breadcrumbs, those same breadcrumbs come back in familiar spirits and they start talking to you and you say, oh, I've seen this before and I know what the outcome is before I even step into it. So, no, thank you. And you gain a family, you gain a spiritual family. Early on in salvation, you give up the world, you get saved, you gain eternal life. What's greater? Though a man gain the whole world but lose his soul, what gain is that? What's greater? Staying in the world, the flesh, and the pride of life, and staying in the system, and dying and burning in hell, or getting saved, giving up the world, the flesh, pride of life, and getting saved and live forever? What's greater? Noah's Ark. Lot and his wife. Yeah. You see what happened to Lot. Lot and his two daughters left. His wife looked back, turned the pillar of salt, and his two daughters had sex with him. Got him drunk, had sex with him, had some babies because they lived in fear. There was another city right around the corner, right over the hill somewhere, but they didn't want to go over there. Because they were so brainwashed with the system, they didn't know that was sick. notice how Lot's two daughters got him drunk. And so when Jezebel or Delilah is trying to get into your world to mess you up, she's going to offer you alcohol or marijuana or some kind of drug to get you out of your mind. There's no new game. So when they say, let's go drinking, let's go to the club, let's go party, they're setting a trap. Back then, the women needed their son to survive, right? So they were sitting there saying, well, we need some offspring or we're going to die out here. What happens when the offspring gets tired of your Jezebel spirit and they go away anyway? Because your whole life was manipulation and witchcraft and sorcery and games and lying and cheating and stealing and chaos and yelling and screaming and no peace. And when the kids get older, they don't want to be around that narcissistic mindset. And they say, I want my peace. What are you going to do then? So see how you reap what you sow. No matter what you do, you already know what happened with Lot's two daughters. They tried to do it in the energy of the flesh. And as they got older, that pattern of the flesh mind repeats, and it becomes a stronghold. The fabric of space-time creates a pattern, and that flesh mind, unless you're willing to die daily, it's going to create a pattern of destruction. And so the fabric of space-time will give back, reflect what you sowed. Subscribers, I don't remember when this was, or somebody made a comment on one of my channels and said, if you reap what you sow, you better sow what you want to reap. And I said, praise God, hallelujah, that is the truth. The Bible even says that if you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you reap everlasting life and peace. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, real love, which is agape love, unconditional love. Love, joy, not happiness, but joy. Happiness is up and down, depends on the weather. Joy is eternal. Love, joy, peace. Peace in the midst of trouble. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. Not of the world's peace, but of his peace, higher peace. Goodness. Not your goodness, but the goodness of Christ. Meekness, control, power. Faith. Humility. There's some more on it. I think there's seven of them in Galatians 5:22. But look at Galatians 5:19. If you reap the flesh, where does it lead? Read Galatians 5:19, 20, and 21. It leads to murder, and it leads to hatred. It leads to variance. It leads to strife. It leads to witchcraft. It leads to sorcery. It leads to confusion. In the book of James, chapter 3, says, that which is from above is first peaceable, easily entreatable, without hypocrisy. But that which is below is confusion and every evil work. So you have to ask yourself, if I make this choice, or go here, or date this one, or do this, if I leave this city and go here, or I move here, is it confusion? If it is confusion, it's not from above, it's from below. This holographic reality has patterns, and it has archetypical patterns, and it applies across the board. If somebody's running a business, they know, unless it's a YouTube business, if you have a lot of drama on a YouTube channel, you're going to get more hits. But anybody who runs a regular business, it has to be peaceful. Nobody wants to go in McDonald's if there's a bunch of chaos and fighting in the when you walk in, or even in the drive-thru. somebody's yelling and screaming and throwing fit, you turn, you just walk out. They're not going to make any money if it's not peaceful. But if somebody wanted to destroy that local restaurant, they would create chaos. You'd hire them, and every time somebody come to the restaurant, they'd be throwing a fit, and they're trying to destroy that restaurant with confusion and yelling and screaming and cursing. They're not there to build your ship up. They're there to destroy your ship. If you save your life, you'll lose. If you lose your life, you'll save it. You can use that example. If you got a, let's say you do get married and you got some in-laws, every time they come over to visit, it's chaos. Well, it doesn't matter if it's the husband's sister or the wife's sister, she's causing chaos. Sister-in-law, brother-in-law, it doesn't matter whose family it is. If every time they come to your house and it turns into fights, they need to stay out of your house. If they call you on the phone yelling and screaming and trying to take away your peace, they need to stay out of your ear gate. If every time you see them, they're causing trouble, they need to stay out of your eye gate. Actually, your eye gate, what you gaze upon, needs to be proper, orderly, in line with the truth. If somebody gives you some artwork that is convoluted, throw it in the trash. If somebody gives you some artwork that looks normal, put it on the wall, orderly, upright. But if it's all twisted, throw it in the trash. Anytime I've had two or three times in my life, I've had these wannabe witches that they want to go out and eat. They want to flash their eyelashes and start talking to you. So you start talking to them, and they'll say, "Look at the jewelry. Look at this jewelry." And it's all twisted jewelry, you know. And then you talk to them a little bit longer, and they hate authority. They don't want to be told what to do. They work a job for a month or two, and then they quit. Everything about them, and they start to talk about the cats and the owls, and their house is full of wicker furniture, and they like the upside down dark. They love the dark. The dark side, and you start, and then the more you talk to them, oh, then they love to take a shot of vodka or something. Oh, it's all, oh, you're in the death cult. That's all adding up. And then, wait a minute, that's just like this other one over here. Oh, that's just like this other one. Oh, there's a pattern. Oh, God the Father is the Pa. And so God created a pattern down here to protect you. That's why he tells you in Proverbs, who to watch out for, the scorner, the evil woman. For the women, there's evil men out there that know how to flatter. And you start to look at the patterns. And if you were raised around it, let's say you were raised in the Adams family or in the monsters. Let's say you were born in a Adams family or the Munsters, and so you're raised around. So that's a familiar spirit. Oh, that's what I was raised around. So you're drawn to that kind of woman. But then when you got away from the Munsters and the Adams family, that your bloodline, and so you get around her and you say, oh, this is not really love. This was the Adams family. It was just a familiar spirit drawing me in. So you break that program. You break the Jezebel program, you break the Delilah program, and the women can put it in the saved women can apply this. They know what I'm talking about. More than I do. The saved women know what I'm talking about more than I do because they watched it. If you talk to a saved woman, let's say you find a sister in Christ and you talk to her about a situation you're in. She said, well, you know what your problem is. And I say, what? I can't see it. You're trying to save her. Oh, she says, you tried to save your mama. You tried to save your sister. You tried to save everybody. Now you're trying to save this woman. You can't save her. Oh, I'm trying to be Jesus for somebody. I said, idolatry. Yeah, right. I mean, this was a conversation I had a long time ago. When you wake up to this, your whole life changes. It was a pattern. Oh, by me trying to save her, I'm trying to be Jesus, which is idolatry. And by me cutting that off and quit trying to save these women, they need to run to Jesus. And that's what a preacher told me one time. I'm talking about many years ago, 20 or 30 years ago. I went to this preacher. I said, what do you think is going on? He said, nobody can help her. Only Jesus can help her. I said, oh. He said, you can't save her. Nobody, she can't even save herself. Only Jesus can. I said, oh, appreciate it. I didn't even have to pay him. It was a preacher. I said, well, how did I miss that, man? It's so simple. It makes so much sense. And then I fell back into it again, and I had a sister in Christ talk to me for many years, or many months, whatever it was. And she said the same thing. I said, oh, I finally get it. I got you. I'm trying to save this kind because it reminds me of my childhood. It's a familiar spirit. And I was drawn to that kind because that's all I knew growing up. I got it. It took me a while to wake up to the game. It was my own game, really. It was nobody else's game. It was my game. But I had to go through the cycles, round the mountain. This one. And I don't know if she and I talked about it, but I know this is for a fact. I might have deduced this on my own. But if you don't love a person, even you can see their dark side. Because if they get saved, they still have the old flesh because they're walking down here. If you don't love a person and can deal with their dark side, you better not marry them. If you can't deal with their dark side, because everybody's got a dark side when they lose it, you better stay single. Because everybody's going to show their dark side. Some might really be bad and some might be small, but there's going to be that side. You push somebody long enough or something, they could be under stress or physical pain or whatever. People can lose it over nothing. And you think it's nothing, but to them it's big. If you don't understand that every human being, unless they're taking up their cross daily, they got that old reptilian nature that tries to kick in. And that reptilian nature is a snake, and it will bite you, and it will hurt. And if you're not strong enough in the spirit, it'll destroy you. And that's why a lot of people drink and do drugs and jump off a bridge and all this, because the dark side, if you're yoked up with somebody who's in their reptilian nature all the time, aka a narcissist or an unsaved, you're either going to have to get away from them and separate eventually, or you're going to have to have the patience of Job. Because that reptilian nature, if you see a snake in the yard, you get a shovel and just cut the head off. But we're talking about a human being. Yeah, if it's a snake in the yard, yeah, you just cut the head off. But you're talking about a human being with a free will. You can't cut that head off. They're going to have to do it themselves. And the only way they're going to do it is die daily. So if you're married to one, you're going to separate quite a few times. And if you're married to one who's been in the church, she's going to say something like, well, that's not me. That's just my flesh. Well, your flesh has crossed the line. Bye. Adios. Why'd you hit me in the jaw? What are you? A devil? Well, that was just my flesh. Not acceptable. Are you not even going to apologize? If that's your flesh and the spirit, if you do have the spirit mind, can't you apologize? It's you. You made me do it. See, you're not even hearing it. That's because you can't see your sin. You can't see that you have an old reptilian nature. You can't apologize. You can't admit you were wrong. You can't say I'm sorry. Because if you say I'm sorry, that fake image of yourself, that you're self-righteous apart from, you know. If a person can't admit that they deserve hell and they're born in sin, How can they apologize if they do something wrong? They can't. They have to blame it on you. They have to project it onto you. It's a projection. What you did was evil. Well, It's your fault. Back up. Let's start over. What you did was evil. Yeah, but it's your fault. Let's back up. Just admit what you did was evil. But it's your fault. Let's try it one more time. What you did was evil. If it's a saved person, let's say, yeah, you're right. It was evil. And then now you say, okay, what I said, I shouldn't have said. I admit that what I said was wrong too. But if both people can't admit wrong and they're projecting it on the other one, there's going to be a separation or divorce. Or there's going to be in a relation. It don't even have to be a marriage or anything. It could be business. If both parties can't humble themselves and say, oh yeah, I see your perspective, then, and I was wrong to say it and look at it that way, it'll break down. It'll break down. Even with nations, fighting nations, you did this, we're going to attack you. And then it raises up to nuclear level. Somebody's got to back down, because once they launch that nuclear weapon, the whole world's going to be destroyed. Somebody has to back down. There has to be some humility somewhere. This tit for tat thing will destroy you. And the only way you're going to overcome the tit for tat is by the Holy Spirit and forgive. The Bible says, husbands, be not bitter against your wives. Why would he say that? Because Eve is the flesh side of Adam. She's more in the flesh than the man. I know women might think opposite, but the Bible is very clear that it's easier for a woman to get in the flesh than a man, because she's the weaker vessel. Now, if the man's not spiritual, yeah. But my point is, somebody's got to back down. Somebody's got to humble themselves, and it really needs to be both. Because if both don't do it, you'll never get along. And so you better love, when you see that other person's evil side, you better be able to love that person. Because it's going to show up. I was telling somebody today. Who was it? Okay, I know. I said, you know, I've seen people when they get their 60s, 70s, 80s. They say, I'm going to divorce my spouse. And they've been together for 40, 50 years or whatever. Let's say they got married at 20. And they're 70 years old. So they were married for 50 years. They're 70. And they're talking about getting a divorce. What does that tell you? At 70, they get a divorce. That really happens. Why would they do that? They didn't learn how to function in the spirit walk. That's why. I don't know if this is helping anybody. I don't know if I'm just rambling. I don't know if anybody's going to get it. But I promise you, the only way you're going to function in this world and achieve the longevity game, in other words, you got to play the long game. It's like game theory. The only way you're going to be able to do the long term is die daily. Let's say you're single and you just have a job. You got to die daily. Die daily. If you do Uber or Lyft, you got to die daily. Not just daily. You got to die every ride, because some of these times these people are crazy. And if you don't die daily or every ride as a service, and they say something stupid, and you say something back, they're going to report you. You're going to lose your privilege. Even if they lie about you. Even if they throw a fit. It could be neighbors. I got a neighbor. A couple of them. Be a girlfriend, a wife, in-laws. Now, you're not, you know, when you marry somebody, you're not married to the in-laws. They're a part of that other person's life, yeah. But eventually, if you're married, your spouse should be number one, the man or the woman. And if somebody's causing trouble in your home, they need to get out. And they need to not come back till they learn how to act right. If you save your life, you'll lose. If you lose your life, you'll save it. If your marriage is really primary and some in-law tries to come in and stir up trouble, they need to go. And you might not ever see them. You might not see them for 20 years. Because if their character is such that they always cause trouble and chaos, why are you letting them destroy your home? you must not love your spouse enough, because your spouse ain't going to put up with it forever. And some people don't put up with it at all. I'm one of those kind of people. You come across my threshold creating drama, I'm going to pick you up and sit you outside and shut the door and say, don't come back. Maybe that's wrong for me to do that, but at the same time, I can't help it. I would rather fight for peace than not have peace. And you tell your wife, if you want to be in that drama with them, when you leave and you go with them, don't come back, because this is going to be peace in this house. And if you don't like it, why'd you marry me? You should have learned me before you married me, you know. My whole goal in life is peace and truth. And truth is love. And somebody's coming in and causing drama, that's not love. That's draconian. That's the Draco machine. I shouldn't add personal stuff when I'm talking, but I'm just giving examples. If you save your life, you'll lose it. If you lose your life, you'll save it. That applies to a business, a job, your health, a marriage, a ship, a business, a nation, a country, a church. It applies across the board. If you take up your cross, you're going to gain. Probably exponential gain. By taking up your cross is exponential growth. Wouldn't that be something if there was somebody out there that was married and they were fighting and they didn't know why, and they said, well, let's just move to another state or city or country and get away from the family. And just be dependent on each other and just focus on each other for a year and see how it works. And then they got along perfect because they just depended on each other. There wasn't any third party, mama, daddy, sister, brother, in-law, whatever. It was just them. And then they just got along because they only had each other to depend on. And they do that for a year. And then they come back around and they see that they can actually see who caused the trouble. Wouldn't that be a good experiment for somebody to do? Hello? Before people get married, maybe they need to go on a trip, some kind of adventure where they depend on each other. 7 days, they just can only depend on each other and see how it works out. See how strong they really are and if they can really say, I'm tired, I cut my foot or something. Can you tape it up? Or, you know, are they really going to help each other? Is an enemy in your own house? Or are they going to help each other? Put them through a boot camp together and say, look, this is the boot camp. You two, you're not going to survive unless you both work together. Okay. Let's see if we can do it. That's what life is, right? And then when you work to, you learn to work together and survive, then you can help other people. And that's what this life is, really. To break you down to your last thread of whatever, and you cry out to God, you get saved, God pulls you up out of the miry clay, you get in His Word, and you get strong in the inner man, and then you go out and help other people, and you pull them up out. You don't save them, but you point them to Jesus who saves them. And then they get out of the miry clay, and then we help each. And then the whole body of Christ is helping each other. That's what a church is supposed to be. But, you know, your churches have, what, 2% of the people doing all the work? Imagine if 98% of the people were doing the work, and the 2% in there heard the truth and watched examples. But most of the time, it's only 2% in any job or business or family. It's a small percentage that's doing any kind of the work. But if everybody lifted up their hands and quit being lazy and quit blaming other people and they all worked together, you know how much you could accomplish? Let's say you had a community of houses and let's say the houses were worth $80,000, and you went and told everybody, says, look, we're going to paint your house, we're going to get your yard right, we're going to do this, and we're all going to work together as a team, and we're going to make this community really nice, and your house value go from $80,000 to $150,000 because we're going to create a nice community. Everybody worked together to make it happen. Then they doubled the 80, let's say it doubled to $160,000. Then they doubled their value of their house if they were working together. But if they're working apart, they're not going to double their value. I'm just giving crazy examples to show you that if you take up your cross, you lose your life, you'll save it. And if you get away from the flesh creatures, you get away from the chaos, you get away from the turmoil, you get away from the insanity, and you learn to serve and wash feet, it would change your whole world. And if you got people that don't want to do it, they're going to suffer loss. And you can't save them, you can't fix them, you can't force it on them. That's their choice until they just get to the end of themselves and say, I have nowhere to go but to Jesus, you know? This codependency enabling thing, this is most the problem. And, you know, you see a parent enable their child, the child ends up in jail. You understand it, but imagine if that parent never enabled that child, the child wouldn't end up in jail. They think the world owes them something. And when they realize the world ain't going to give them, so these kind of people, they end up becoming a criminal. The world owes me. Well, they ain't giving you nothing, so they start stealing. Their mind goes into twisted thinking. That person worked hard and bought some shovels and some rakes and a wheelbarrow, and they worked hard and they bought that stuff. And the one who thinks the world owes them, they go and break into their little shed and steal all their stuff from them because they think it's theirs. Because their mama never spanked them. They felt enabled that everything should be given to them. You know what I'm talking about. I don't even need some of this stuff I'm talking about. It's like, you know it, but nobody's ever talked about it. You saw it in your family. You saw people in your family that thought the world owed them something, and they grow up and they end up in jail or end up living in the basement, and they're 40 years old living in their mama's basement or something. You've seen it. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, that's enough. Save your life, you lose it. Lose your life, you'll save it. The universe will not let you stay in that state, and most of the time, people who try to stay in that state, they end up dead. They die before their time. They drink themselves to death, or heroin, drugs, needles, whatever. They end up in the hospital, liver trouble, their skin turns green or yellow. What's that? I forget what it's called. I've seen so many people die at 50 years old, 45, 48, 50. They die, and they didn't have to, all because they hated authority. They hated discipline. They hated sacrifice. They hated being honest. They hated being truthful. They wanted to live the lie, the fake reality bubble, and they were destroying themselves and didn't even know it. Because they didn't want to submit to any authority because they thought they were God. But God gives you authority for a reason. To save your life. Authority will save your life. There's a lot of women out there, older, struggling now because they didn't want to submit to authority of a man. And now they have to call that plumber to fix something simple. And it cost him $120 an hour for him to come in there and put a flapper on a toilet or something. Something simple. Why not submit to your authority? Why not take up your cross? Why not lose your life so that you save your life and you'll gain more? The Bible says you give up, you lose it, you gain a thousandfold. Not only in this life, but the life to come. The born-again family is huge. We're spread out all over the world like salt. Salt in your food, but we're still able to reach out through the internet. It's huge. There's a lot of born-again out there. And you're going to see these people in heaven. And you're going to know them. You're going to know them. And they are going to know you. And you're going to be praising God forever and ever and ever. And we're talking about joy unspeakable forever. Eternal bliss. And you can actually step into that now. And the way that you step into that eternal bliss now is get your identity in Christ and don't compromise. And don't go back to the world. Don't go back to the flesh. Don't go back to pride. Don't go back to the devil system. And just take up your cross. Because if you give up the breadcrumbs of this world and you gain the riches of the next world, even if you end up with hardly nothing down here, which you really don't have anything anyway, because you could lose it all in a split second. If you end up with nothing, who cares? You got eternal treasure that's forever settled in heaven forever. I don't know if this is a waste of time. It's 51 minutes. Hope somebody gets a blessing from it. I hope it triggers something to somebody who says, you know what? I'm gonna walk in the truth. I'm gonna get away from these fake reality bubbles that people are trying to build around me. And I know they're gonna hate me for doing it, but who cares? I'd rather trust God to keep me right than trust some human that will lead me wrong. I kind of feel, the more I think about how bad this system is, I feel sorry for the women, because the women are just looking for men that are willing to sacrifice and be an example. But then at the same time, the men are frustrated because the women think they deserve it. They're like that enabled kid that thinks they deserve everything. And the man's saying, you know, we're not going to go in debt because you think you need something. When you got everything you need, they want you to work two or three jobs to give them something and not ever say thank you. At least you could get up. If the man's working 50 hours a week, when he gets up, just say, hey, thank you for going to work and sacrificing for the family. And when he goes out to work, man, he's going to be happy because he knows he's doing it for somebody who's thankful. But y'all won't listen. Y'all think I'm blowing smoke. It's built into man to sacrifice for his family. And if it's not, he's not saved. Something wrong, or you destroyed his vision of the family. Takes two to tango, you know. Anyway, I'm done.